Today on Seculo, Saki bombs the White House press conference and Democrats in disarray.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110 on this Friday. That's 1-800-684-3110. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, you may see if you're watching the broadcast as well, Psaki bombing, again, another White House press conference, but not just Jen Psaki. We've got Kamala Harris, our vice president of the United States, bombing press conferences around the world, sent to Poland to laugh at a refugee crisis. Jen Psaki blaming everything on Vladimir. Every problem now in America is Vladimir Putin. And listen, it's not like I'm saying Putin's not causing some trouble. Obviously, it's increased the problem with inflation and gas prices because we've cut off Russian oil and gas without doing the second part, which was unleashing America's energy. And so we're going to dictators and ayatollahs, and we've been talking about that. But I guess they go halfway, but they don't do 100%. And then they try to blame Putin. But the inflation was already occurring. The stickers were already on the gas pump saying, I did this, with Joe Biden pointing to it, well before an invasion of Ukraine, even before there was the massive troop buildup in Ukraine. But as Fox News, Peter Ducey, he asked her just straight up, is everything going to be blamed on Vladimir Putin? Take a listen.
The president's statement blames the Putin price hike. Are you guys just going to start blaming Putin for everything until the midterms?
Well, we've seen the price of gas go up at least 75 cents since President Putin lined up troops on the border of Ukraine.
Okay. But what about the gas prices that were going up before that? Whose fault was that? Well, Joe Biden's. He shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, revoked many of the potential licenses for oil and gas. There was 37,000 available. Now it's down to 9,000. And those 9,000, a lot of those just aren't good. There are places where you could drill, but you know the oil's not going to come out for, you got to plan for years in advance. And who in the oil industry, we were talking about this with Senator Blackburn yesterday, who in the oil industry is going to say, I trust Joe Biden to say if you do it now, that it's even worth the investment to open up a well or to drill, to put in a new well or to finish the Keystone pipeline. The company that was building that totally walked away from it. You have to restart all of that. These are all moves by Joe Biden well before Ukraine was invaded. So while it is contributing to inflation, and that would be a fair statement, you must look at the bigger policies. The reason why food costs more is not because we're banning now Russian caviar, okay, and vodka. That's not why your food prices cost more. It's because of bad policies put in place, supply chain issues, that some of that was linked to COVID and the COVID response. I mean, all of that does play together, and all of that, the one constant throughout this is the Biden administration and Joe Biden himself. And the policies of the White House and the policies that he ran on to shut down coal, shut down basically new oil and gas ventures in the United States. So now we're begging dictators. We're begging tyrants. And the poll numbers are really starting to, and I think this is good for conservatives going into the midterm election. I know, again, a lot of you are still bitter about the last presidential election. I get it. But we have a great shot at really being able to put a stop to a lot of these horrible Biden policies by electing good conservatives next November in the House and the Senate. And the poll numbers, we're going to go through that when we come back, are really starting to reflect that wave effect. But you've got to do the building work. You got to get good candidates. A lot of the primaries are coming up soon in the Republican Party. Some have already occurred, but some are coming up. You want good candidates that people get excited about so that come November, whatever the state of the world is, the House and the Senate go back into control of conservatives' hands and Republican hands. We want to hear from you today, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about this whole idea of blaming Putin for every problem? Certainly an impact, but is that the reason why you're paying so much more? 1-800-684-3110. How is it all affecting you at home?
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Putin's the problem with everything. Listen, he is a world pariah. He's causing certainly serious problems. No laughing problems, by the way. Which I don't know why Kamala Harris decided to laugh about the biggest refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. It's not funny. And again, she goes to her go-to laugh. I mean, we'll play that. It's cringeworthy as an American. Not even just battering Democrats here, because when your vice president, obviously she was being sent over to announce that they were going to do the jets from Poland that were going to get transferred to Germany, and then that decision got changed. So she had nothing to deliver. But, I mean, simple questions and the laughing begins. It's just like saying, I mean, Peter Ducey from Fox News was teeing it up for Jen Psaki. Not to say everything was Putin, but that is their go-to answer now, is just blame this bad guy. Even though your gas prices were already on the rise. Steve Rattner, Wall Street guy, was on the Obama administration's auto task force. So this is a guy coming from, he's been involved with the Democrat Party. And he sees this ABC News tweet that says, President Biden blames high inflation rates in part on Russian sanctions and said the costs we're imposing on Putin and his crony are far more devastating than the costs we're facing. But that's a large contributor to inflation is these policies that have just been put in place in the last week on Russian oil and gas, or just today on changing the most favored nation status with Russian trade on goods like seafood and vodka. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's seafood and vodka and items like that. So we're not talking about massive supply chain things. We're not talking about your refrigerators or chips for your cell phone here. And he writes back in the tweet, he says, no, these are February's numbers. They only include a small Russian effect. This is Biden's inflation, and he needs to own it. But instead, he's blaming everything on, again, Vice President, he's blaming everything on Putin. I want to play this too. Like, what are you going to do in the short term to actually help the American people? Bite six.
Is there something you want to point to that's what the White House is doing to provide short-term relief, like immediate relief to the rising costs?
I would say that a huge part of what we've done has provided, has had an impact already.
Okay, what? Other than just everything going up more and more and more, we're going to talk about the next segment with Harry Hutchinson from our director of policy at the ACLJ, and he's an economic expert. But this idea is that the only thing that has changed And all they've done is made it worse. Yeah, their policies have had an impact. It's costing you more to do everything. It's costing you more to buy everything and every item. And as I continue to do this week, I want to hear from you directly. 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe that this is all because of Putin? Or do you believe it's because Keystone XL was shut down and the Green New Deal Democrats? Who do you blame for inflation? Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. I bet you don't just blame Vladimir Putin. And I'll say it right here. It's certainly a part when there's war in Europe. It's going to have an effect on the economy, of course. But we were already seeing this massive trend with inflation and the supply chain issues and all the other issues facing our country. That was before an invasion. That was before even the troop buildup on the border with Ukraine. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to the phones right now. Gloria in Idaho on line one. Hey, Gloria, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Well, my question is, well, it's not really a question, more like a statement. It seems like initially the Biden administration was blaming Trump about everything. Now they're blaming Putin about everything. So it seems that they will not take accountability for their own poor mistakes and decisions.
Well, because they don't want to blame, Gloria, the base of their party. The reason why they had to announce plans like Keystone XL being shut down and the fact that they have not offered a lot of security to encourage any new investment in oil and gas in America, because why would you trust the Green New Deal Democrats? They should be blaming the radical left of their own party. The problem is for the Democrat Party, and we're seeing it on display here, is that they are becoming the norm. They're not just the radical left within the party. They're becoming the mainstream of the Democrat Party, and Joe Biden is their leader. He is doing everything they want, all of their bidding. They want you to feel this pain. They want you to say, you know what, at $12 a gallon, I need to start saving up for one of those electric cars. The problem is you'll be on a wait list for at least a year, even if you can afford one. So it's not like all these vehicles are easily available right now. That's another issue they have caused serious trouble with, the supply chain issues and starting to alleviate those issues. The American people wanting to buy new vehicles can't do it. I know where you are. I know where I am. It's not an option. And even used cars, their prices are outrageous, even with high mileage. So we're in a situation in our country. Let's put the blame where the blame lies. It's the left. It's the Green New Deal Democrats who don't want to deal in reality. Reality is we need oil and gas now. We're not fully electric. We're not able to get there yet. And if you want to be on a path towards that for the future, you could do this. You could do both. But cutting off, I mean, the idea, the polls have shifted so much on issues where usually Republicans can struggle with. So according to a Wall Street Journal poll just came out, 47% of voters, not Republican voters, voters in general, said Republicans are better able to handle inflation. Only 30% thought Democrats. So only a third of the country. I think that Democrats would be able to provide the answer. But they also said Republicans have a better plan on the economy in general, 45% to 37%. So I think people are starting to wake up, especially a lot of moms, suburban moms and women, which really helped Joe Biden in his path to the White House. And that whole vote we said that turned on Donald Trump, that may have voted for him the first time, didn't the second time because of tone issues and they didn't like tweets. People are starting to realize, okay, maybe that was all working. You know, you paid a dollar something a gas at the gallon. It didn't cost much to fill up your car. You could take your family on vacation. The stock market was going up. We were dealing with COVID, and we were going to be able to come out of it with still a strong economy. But we shifted to a leader, and of course in the House and the Senate as well, that is so dedicated to shutting down American jobs and American power and American energy independence. So we went from being energy independent and exporting energy within like 2 months of going back to being dependent on dictators and tyrants and ayatollahs for our oil and gas. And that's where Joe Biden is going for it now. I mean, and the bigger number out of this Wall Street Journal poll is that he's only at 42% approval, which actually seems a little high to me. But I still, in our country, we're at a unique moment here where I think where the Republican Party has shifted, I think it's shifted in a good way to include more Americans, more blue-collar Americans, working-class Americans who feel like they have a space in the party. It reminds me of the days when the evangelicals were kind of on the outside looking in on the Republican Party, that they had a big influence. Now, again, we're keep expanding the conservative movement within the party. By the way, folks, that doesn't mean that every Republican, I'm not saying they're all great. Okay, there's a lot of them long-termers that we want to see on the way out. And that's why you got to be fighting your primaries for great candidates. I said that in the beginning of the broadcast. But, and I want to play this from Donald Trump, because this is true. And American voters agree with him. He was talking to Sean Hannity last night. Take a listen, Byte 21.
It's so sad because this would have never happened. If we had the Trump administration, there was no chance that this would happen. And I know him well. And this was not something that was going to happen at all.
It's true, because all you would have had to do to prevent this kind of inflation is stay on track within American energy independence, especially with the gas pump. Of course, there were going to be some issues with the supply chain coming out of COVID, but if other parts of our economy were strong, that would have been handled also. The idea is that all you'd have to do, and it's not as easy as it sounds, by the way, because of what Biden's done, but if you re-implemented the Trump policies on oil and gas and other parts of the economy, it would shift the market very quickly. But we're going to talk about the next segment. Gas prices go up really fast. They keep saying this is temporary. This is short term. And they've been saying that since they took office, by the way. Then it was, they blamed corporate greed. And they were the ones responsible because there was a supply chain issue, so they were going to charge you more. And then it's Putin. But it's still temporary because, that will eventually come to an end. Except for, we don't know how that's going to end in Ukraine. And we don't know if that's the end of where Russia wants to go. And we certainly, it doesn't feel like that's close to being over with. So we'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The White House wants the American people, they're trying to pull one on the country, to blame Putin for all of our economic problems. These problems are just being exacerbated by the war in Europe. But they were all began the moment Joe Biden entered the White House and started putting America on a path towards being dependent on dictators, tyrants, and ayatollahs for oil and gas instead of American energy independence and exporting.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right. When the Biden administration came into office, that inflation started to begin, and you know, get prices at the pump slowly started to go up, and then you started to see food costs more. Remember, we've been talking about this long before we talked about Russia invading Ukraine. Before we even talked about, let me say it again, Russia invading Ukraine. Not when the troops were on the border in those couple weeks before that month leading up, but this entire presidency. And they started off by saying it was temporary. Then they got away from temporary and said it's corporate greed. Now it's Putin and temporary again. Now, temporary is a funny term in Washington because, I mean, that could be years could be temporary. It's definitely not probably the way you think of temporary, which is very, you know, quickly resolved. This is Jen Psaki at the White House yesterday trying to explain, listen, I mean, the one thing they are being honest about is they're telling you it's all going to cost more and it's all going up and there's not much they can do about it. Bite nine.
But in terms of prices going up, we do anticipate that gas prices and energy prices will go up. That is something that the president has conveyed very clearly to the American public. We also believe it will be temporary and not long lasting.
Okay. I'm going to go to Harry Hutchinson right now, director of policy. Harry, we heard temporary very early from this administration. Then they started shifting away from that word and they started using words like corporate greed, and it was supply chain issues. And COVID, and then it was that now it's Putin, but it's back to temporary and not long lasting. I mean, again, I think people would want to know how do they think that with their policies, they're going to bring down the price of oil and gas in America and for other goods as well?
Well, the Biden administration's policies basically understood suggest that there is no way that the Biden administration can figure its way out of this hole that it has dug. It is clear beyond question that the Biden administration simply has no answer, no strategy, and zero hope with respect to solving America's inflation problems. The only person more out of touch with the problems that consume America's middle class than Jen Psaki is President Biden himself, who continues to struggle with what? Basic competency. So when pressed about just how long Americans can expect high inflation to continue, Jen Psaki continues to claim that the White House expects gas prices to continue to rise. What she fails to understand, of course, is fertilizer prices are rising at about 300%.
And 300%.
300%. And so if you look, for instance, at the plight of a farmer like Dennis Johnson, whose fuel costs have doubled, he used to spend $25,000 per month on fuel. He now spends $50,000 per month on fuel. He's a sixth-generation farmer in Michigan. He produces beef, corn, alfalfa, and oats. He employs 50 workers, and it is incredibly challenging. And guess what? Americans should be prepared to pay even higher prices. That is above the 8%, which is a record high going back to 1982. What is the Biden administration solution? I think it is crystal clear. We now are going to blame Putin for the Biden administration's long-term incompetence. So they're getting away from corporate greed. They're getting away from blaming Trump for everything. It is now all on Putin's shoulders. It's nonsense on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, you're president of the United States. And we're going to talk about Vice President Harris. And again, it was cringeworthy when you saw her abroad. And we're going to get into that second half hour of the broadcast, so that's coming up. This is President Biden. Again, yesterday, he was just asked by a reporter quickly about the prices going up. Literally, no solution. And by the way, this doesn't sound temporary. And when prices, like Jen Psaki said, are going to go up, and they predict it's going to continue to rise, it cannot continue to rise and also be temporary. You can't have a thing that's going out of control, but you say, oh, it's only out of control temporarily because you don't know where it's going. And they know they can't solve it. They're actually telling you. I've never seen a president of the United States just say, I've got no solutions. But he did, by 33.
It's going to go up. Can't do much right now. Russia's responsible.
He said, prices are going to go up. Can't do much right now. And as you just pointed out, the Russians are responsible. I'm not one of those people that said, of course, they have it has caused more inflation. And we've cut off Russian oil and gas without opening up American energy independence. But the reason why we're dealing with this inflation in the first place, instead of just dealing with the cost effects of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which would have had an impact on our economy, yes. But it is not the only responsible factor here because we were already on this path.
I think you're precisely correct. And so I think we should expect inflation to continue. And in fact, at least in the short run, to borrow a phrase from Jen Psaki, I expect inflation to accelerate. And inflation was set along this particular pathway a long time ago. Why? Because the Biden administration has been consumed with climate change. They gave up on Arctic drilling. They canceled the Keystone Pipeline. They canceled oil and gas leases. So what did that do? It fueled a price increase in energy, which is now being felt where? In the agriculture and the food market, in the grocery market. And it's basically a war that has been declared by the Biden administration on the middle class. So rather than fighting our enemies, we are fighting the American people. Why? Because the elites, the progressive globalist elites in Washington, at the end of the day, really don't care.
I mean, as our producer Will just put in our chat with me, and it's so true. The Democrats, they've been blaming the Russians for every failure of theirs since 2016. And I mean, you know, again, they every Russian action of aggression has occurred, and recent aggression has been under the Obama administration. You saw Crimea, and then they didn't do anything for 4 years. What 4 years was that? Oh yeah, Donald Trump was president, and then Joe Biden's in office for a year, and they are invading the rest of Ukraine. And by the way, this old idea of blame the Russians. Don't you see Russian weakness on display? I mean, yes, they can do horrendous things, and they've got big artillery, and they've got nuclear weapons. But look at what their lack of military ability when it comes to soldiers, people on the ground. I mean, they thought that. Remember, everybody was predicting, if Russia could go in with this kind of force, you know, over 100,000 troops into Ukraine, this is going to be over within 48 hours. Now we're weeks in. And again, while they have air superiority and they have artillery support, and of course they have the threat of nuclear weapons, you're seeing the weakness. And it gets harder to blame everything on somebody who looks weak. You know, it's hard to say, well, Putin, really? Is responsible for everything right now? Because what about Keystone? What about putting so lack of confidence in our American oil and gas industries that you could tell them right now to start? And I don't think they would under the Biden administration because it'd be too risky for them to actually trust that he would keep those policies in place. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge this month. It is so important, critical to our work at the ACLJ. These are the most important months for us financially. Double the impact of your donation. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
I'm going to say it again because I think our producer, Will, was dead on. Democrats, they've been blaming the Russians for all of their problems. If they lose an election, it's the Russians. If it's the economy, it's the Russians. If it's inflation, it's the Russians. And I will say this, I'm an honest broker here. Of course, the war in Ukraine, which is horrendous, and they're laughing about it, by the way. We're going to get to that in the final segment of the broadcast. Vice President Harris laughing in Poland. So while I take it seriously, and I would never laugh about a refugee situation in any part of the world, but especially not one in Europe that we haven't seen since World War II. So they laugh. You see all that time the mainstream media spends on the reporting on the refugee issue. Why don't they spend time on the fact that they got a vice president of the United States, take out party politics for a minute, who is laughing about the issue? It's just not right. I mean, it's wrong as a human being. That shouldn't be your response to people who are leaving with what they could put in a bag, a backpack, or less. And we've been talking about our broadcast assisting people. And of course, the pain that's being implemented here in the U.S. on people, and their cost as well. The poll numbers, of course, are reflecting this. We're seeing this play out. But what I want to make sure is clear to all of you is that Joe Biden literally said, the President of the United States said, the prices are going to go up. Can't do much about it right now. The Russians are responsible. But the prices were already going up. There was already serious supply chain issues. Has the war in Russia made it worse? Yeah, that's fair, but it's not the only thing to blame. In fact, that could be blunted by opening up America's power and energy independence. But, and again, I think you have to double down this point. Even if he came out tomorrow and said, you know what, I'm going to let Keystone XL go, I don't know if there's a company in the U.S. that would say, let's take that contract, because I don't think they'd trust him that they'd be able to continue doing it in a year. That it just wouldn't be some, you know, and again, same thing goes for the oil and gas industry, small and large companies. You're going to trust this administration, even if they told you, all right, you can do this now, you can do that now. You're going to have to invest billions of dollars and then trust the new Green Deal Democrats that in a couple of years when those are actually, the pumps are actually flowing with oil and gas, so you're going to be able to sell it? I mean, even break even? Or is it going to bankrupt your company because you're going to trust the party of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and AOC? And it used to be that they were the outliers. But I am telling you now, folks, Joe Biden is just as bad as them. He is them because he will do their bidding. And he is controlled by that wing of his party. And that wing of his party is becoming the mainstream of the Democrat Party. And they can destroy America. Because $10 a gallon gas is pretty darn close to destroying America. We can get through it if it's really temporary, but so far it's been a year. I don't think you can't use that word anymore. I don't think it's fair to use a word temporary while the prices you're saying are still going up, so you don't know where it's going to end, and it's been going on for a year. That's not temporary for people trying to budget. That's not temporary when, again, wages are not increasing at that level, and costs for everything, home prices, cars, food, every item. Up, up, up. So, folks, we're going to get to this further in the broadcast. We're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, the Vice President Harris, we had a budget vote yesterday in the Senate. We're getting into some of this with Dan Bennett as well. We've also got, we're doing some testimony in Maryland right now. We've got an email out it today. So check your email, an email on this. We've already got a small victory just by a blog we wrote. That'll show you the influence of the ACLJ. Then we're going to testify. It's a bad bill, but it was even worse. I'm going to get into that too with Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, when we come back. Give us a call. We're going to be taking your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. Do you blame Joe Biden or Putin for the price of the gas? Do you blame Joe Biden or Putin for the price of food? Do you blame Joe Biden or Putin for the fact that you can't get a car, even if you wanted to buy one right now? 1-800-684-3110. 3110. And how many bombed press conferences? How many sake bombs? How many? Harris laughing at real crisis and real human tragedy. Be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
By the way, if you're watching our broadcast on Facebook or Rumble is where it's at, because, again, we can say sake bombs. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting some flag on from Facebook. But you know what we said today? We're saying it because it's the truth. It's like, how much can we take before you're just outraged? And sometimes you got to just be outraged and a little fire, if you will, under the American people. And people who might not be as engaged as we all are. You know, I mean, your friends and family who might not follow the news quite as closely, who might not take the elections as seriously and politics as seriously. You know what they do take seriously? Not being able to afford to fill up their car with gas. Not being able to afford to feed their family. Not being able to take a vacation. Even if they have the money, can't get a new car. Even if they need a new fleet of trucks for their company, can't get them. I mean, that's what they start taking seriously, and they start paying attention. So when you have a president says, I can't do anything about it, blame the Russians. Now it's broader than Putin. Just blame Russians. The Russian people who live under a dictatorship. Blame them. It's their fault. I mean, they have been a boogeyman for the Democrats since Donald Trump took office. That was what Hillary Clinton blamed. They blame for everything. They ignore the genocide in China, by the way, in a country with over 1 billion people with a real military. But, again, This is what we're dealing with right now. I want to go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., because, Than, it's interesting. This is actually a time when there's been more bipartisan action by Congress recently to get things to the president's desk because I think there's more agreement even in Congress on trying to get solutions done, because they're worried their constituents are about to, for every House member and a third of the Senate, about to vote on whether or not they keep their job.
And so much of it comes back to what you just talked about, Jordan. I mean, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, when you go to fill up your car and it costs you, you know, 50% more than it did a month ago or whatever it may be, you're a small business owner, and just to keep your business afloat, your expenses have gone through the roof. That is a problem for you, Jordan. So look, I mean, whether you talk about banning Russia oil or gas, or you talk about trying to restrict trade relations with Russia, honestly, Jordan, it has been the Congress that has forced the White House to move. Even when the White House has authority, I mean, look, I really don't think, Jordan, that this announcement from the White House to ban the import of Russian oil and gas, I don't think that would have happened had a bipartisan group in the United States Congress not come together and said very clearly to the White House, we are going to do this with or without you. Jordan, the White House went ahead, made that announcement. But even when they did that,
Speaker Pelosi said, you know what, I'm going to pass that bill anyway, just in case the White House backs off that, at least it'll be in the United States Senate ready to go. So I couldn't agree with you more. The Congress is way ahead of the White House on all of these issues.
One of the things people may have seen this morning, Than, is the President Biden came out and he said, we're revoking the most favored nation status from Russia, which is an international term about trade. In the U.S., it's permanent normal trade relations. We're revoking that as well. He kind of made a big deal about it, but what then we kind of started getting into the weeds on was, did he actually do it and it was executive power, or is he now asking Congress to do it? Can we explain that to folks? Because I'm sure they're going to get hear that press conference over and over again. They like, it sounded tough. What does it actually mean?
Yeah, this might be the best example of what we were just talking about, Jordan, because earlier in the week when this bill that would have banned Russian oil and gas was introduced in the House of Representatives, it actually included this change. It included a statutory revocation of permanent normal trade relations with Russia. You're right. Internationally, they call it favored nation status. But basically, Jordan, it's just something that countries pass that reduce tariff levels for trade that goes between countries. Congress came together at the beginning of the week and said, look, it's time to revoke this. We are going to rescind permanent normal trade relations with Russia. And actually, Jordan, it was the White House that came to Congress and really begged them to take that portion out of the bill. Now, look, there's maybe a sort of good reason that they did this. They wanted to get allies from G7 countries on board so that the world could move forward in a unified manner. And Jordan, maybe that's good, but why wasn't that happening 10 days ago? I mean, why was it that the United States Congress had to get out in front of the White House on this? Yes, Congress has to act. They have to move, Jordan, through both chambers of Congress, and the president has to sign it in law to make this change. But guess what? They're out of town now. They left, and earlier in the week, Jordan, they were ready to do this action. They were ready to send it to the president's desk, and it was the president that said, wait, no, I'm not ready. Jordan, he should have been ready a week ago. He should have asked the Congress to do it, and they would have done it this week when they were in town.
We go to Christine in Oklahoma online, too. And folks, again, the question we've asked you for today's show, we're going to continue to take calls throughout the rest of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. You blame Biden, you blame Putin. Or actually, you know, it goes further than that. Because President Biden said it's actually blame the Russians. Not just Putin, who's the dictator. Blame the Russians. And by the way, who's really xenophobic? Because they kept always calling Donald Trump xenophobic. Yet he was working fine with all these international players, and they were scared of us. But Joe Biden wants to just blame Russians generally. So who do you blame? 1-800-684-3110 for your rising prices. Hey, Christine, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you. You know, I've been listening to everything, and I agree with everything that's being said, and I do not blame Putin. I blame Biden. I think Biden is a weak president who does not know how to take responsibility for the things that he's done. And he's got a history of placing the blame.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is a lifelong politician, and we had 4 years of dealing with somebody who was not a politician at all. And there's some politicians, he could be a lifelong politician, be great, but a lot of them are not when they get to that point. But you're also seeing someone who is just the control of his own party is, I'm just sick and tired of people saying, well, it's just the left of his own party. He is that left. He is their representation now. Thea, we got quite. People that are watching this broadcast, listen to this broadcast, you're very tuned in. Okay, you know what's going on. You understand it's just a throwaway to say blame it all on Putin. But you must understand that when people turn on their TV and see the horrible war in Ukraine and they see Joe Biden say that, if you're not well informed, you might believe them. And Thea, we did get questions too about the budget. Vote that went through, because we were talking about how that, you know, yesterday the Democrats were in disarray. I mean, it took from 10 to 10 to get the vote even done. We were talking about they needed Republican votes. They don't need Republican votes in the House. What happened in the Senate ultimately?
Well, to your first point, Jordan, the actions of a crazy man across the world don't mean you can't do anything here at home. I mean, look, the case for energy independence has never been clearer, and yet this president is not willing to lead on it. Last night in the United States Senate on that omnibus spending package, Jordan, the Senate was able to approve it very quickly. They passed it last night by a vote of 68 to 31. There was one Senator, James Inhofe from Oklahoma, who missed the vote. All 31 no votes, Jordan, were from the Republican Conference. And it's really because it is a bloated bill. It just is. But honestly, I think the thing that is probably the most significant about what happened last night is it did move without that COVID money that, again, was a priority for the White House. It was a priority for congressional Democrats. And then it was congressional Democrats who objected to the offsets. So that money came out of the bill, Jordan. Every indication is they're going to try to pass it by itself next week. You're not going to get Republican support to pass COVID spending right now in this environment on its own. But the spending bill last night, $1.5 trillion, including about $14 billion for Ukraine, that was approved by the United States Senate. It's now been sent to the White House for the president's signature.
Then another, I updated people just quickly because it's in their email today. So if you're on the ACLJ email list, you're going to see this update on life. But one of our attorneys is testifying in Maryland. It's today on a piece of legislation there. It's a pro-abortion piece of legislation, but they were trying to go even further. And I, you know, not to get people too confused, but this idea, they tried to use the term perinatal, not prenatal, perinatal, which means before and after birth in this abortion legislation. And we've already been successful. A blog of ours has been successful in at least getting that removed from the Senate version of that bill.
Yeah, this was a term, perinatal death related to a failure to act, Jordan. Look, it was just a way that there was going to end up being a loophole towards infanticide. We've seen that in other states, Virginia and other states. We were able to pull it out of the Senate bill or get it pulled out of the Senate bill. It's still in the House bill that Olivia Summers is testifying on today, Jordan. So I think we'll be successful in getting it out. But, you know, I'll make one note here. I'm from the state of Maryland. This is one of the things we're going to have to talk about post-Dobbs, Jordan. Yep. There are some of these states where both pro-life and pro-abortion bills are viable, Jordan. So we're going to have to be in states advocating for one and opposing the other. And look, it's going to sweep all across the nation.
Yeah, we've been talking about there's the idea there's going to be the deeply red pro-life states that you just got to get the right legislation in, the right laws. Then you got the deeply blue who want to go out of control. But then you got states that are in the middle, like they just said, where we got to fight, where there's going to be a real fight, and you can win if you're dedicated, you got the resources and the team. And let me tell you, we have the resources and the team because of your financial support of the ACLJ. We don't do it often on our broadcast, you know, but we have certain months of the year that are really important to us financially at the ACLJ. And this is a matching challenge month, the month of March. You can double the impact of your donation. Because if you donate $25, a group of donors is going to match that. So it's like $50 for us. But you've got to take the initial action. Donate online today at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Support our work. We need it. It's important.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, so you thought, all right, Jordan, you can't have anything left for me on this Friday, right? Nothing worse. How about it being an international embarrassment to the world, our vice president? How about the fact that we sent our vice president over to Europe, to our NATO allies bordering Ukraine, and she had nothing to deliver because, I guess while she was in the air, they went from sending jets to not sending jets and had no prep on the issues she might face. Easy questions from international press corps where you could just say, yes, I can't get into the details now, take it seriously. So, you know, our good friend Sean Hannity last night, you know, he made his point in his broadcast. This is not an administration. They never say no to refugees. They want to make everybody that comes through the border, and we do a lot of work with refugees and we do and actual asylum seekers. They have no issue with that on their southern border. But when they're asked about it, and it's a serious thing. I mean, it's nothing to laugh about. And I don't know if it's her nervous tick or whatever it is, or her stall tactic, but you should. A vice president of the most powerful country in the world, or at least what the country is you want to you hope that we continue to be the most powerful country in the world if we get through these 4 years. Because, I mean, just a year ago, they were scared of us around the world. I like that a lot better. I bet you did too. You know, it might not have sounded as nice. It might not have been laughing and joking, but they were scared and they wouldn't take actions like this. And your gas didn't cost $8 a gallon. This is Vice President Harris yesterday with the Polish president. Now, Poland's been taking in massive amount of refugees, huge strain on its infrastructure. They were also willing to send their own jets over into Ukraine, but they needed U.S. assistance. And that's probably why Vice President Harris was going there to announce that they were going to do that. Then they didn't do that, and she can't answer questions about refugees. Take a listen. And the laughing, I will tell you, folks, this is not something you don't laugh about, the fact that people leaving their husbands behind. I keep imagining this story. I would have to say goodbye to my family. All of us between 18 and 60 would be saying goodbye to our kids and our wife. That's not something you laugh about, especially when you are a world leader, as she is as vice president. Take a listen.
And relatedly, is the United States willing to make a specific allocation for Ukrainian refugees? And for President Duda, I wanted to know if you think, and if you asked the United States to specifically accept more refugees.
Okay. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Okay,
first. Okay, it's okay.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Revolting, actually. To a point where, I mean, this is, again, if you were the actual president, you might say, you know what? Enough with this vice president. Maybe at least stop sending her around, because she's laughing. It is the biggest refugee crisis in Europe since the Nazis in World War II. The biggest refugee crisis in Europe since the Nazis in World War II. They were already responsible for a massive disaster of refugee issues and crisis, humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan. They're also laughing about this one and not prepped to even answer the question, which could have been, yes, of course, we want to work with Poland to alleviate, you know, they have done such a great job taking these refugees, helping people out. The U.S. is going to do what it can. I mean, you don't have to get into specifics if you didn't know the specifics, but you certainly don't have to laugh. When we all see the images of the women and children without the men, without their husbands, who are left behind to fight with whatever weapon they can. It might be a Molotov cocktail from a brewery. And it's no laughing matter. Could you imagine if you're Ukrainian watching that? Flip side, imagine if you're Vladimir Putin watching that. You scared of the United States? When Joe Biden is saying, nothing I can do about it, it's the Russians' fault. NATO is starting to actually fracture in front of your eyes when they can't agree on the jets. That's an actual. So NATO is not unified. Stop listening to all your politicians who tell you how NATO is so unified. They are not. They had a decision on the jets, and the U.S. said no, and they disagreed. There is disagreement among NATO. It's exactly what Putin wants to see. But it actually got worse with Harris. Take a listen. This is just a kind of a puts it all together of how bad this European visit went.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies. I want to be very clear. The United States and Poland are united in what we have done and are prepared to do to help Ukraine and the people of Ukraine. Full stop. We all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet, based on what we've just been able to see. And because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But just limited to what we have seen.
A lot of confidence. I'm on the eastern, northern, eastern. By the way, Poland, us is full stop, no disagreement, except for I was flying here to announce that we were going to do what Poland offered to do with the jets, but we actually disagreed with Poland. So there's obvious disagreement amongst NATO. So yes, it can get worse. The week is getting worse. It's Friday, and it's still getting worse. And I say this to all of you, not to upset you, because you got to take this message out past our audience, past the folks that we know that you're so engaged. We know you are. If you're listening to this or watching this broadcast, sharing it with your friends and family, talk to your friends and family. You have a unique opportunity right now, because even the family members who might not be as engaged in politics, or maybe they were put off a little by Donald Trump, they're paying more at the pump. They're seeing the refugee crisis in Europe. They're seeing the war. They are paying more for food. They're going through all the same problems. All of us are. This is the time to reach out to them. So I'm trying to light that fire so that you're encouraged and educated so that you can go to your friends and family about these issues. Let me go to Mary Ellen. She's been holding on to Illinois Online 3. Hey, Mary Ellen, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Yes. One of the things that keeps coming up in my spirit is like, I don't hear really like a rise of protest of the people of the rise of gas prices. And I look back to the 1970s, late 70s, 80s, and I remember clearly the price of gasoline was $1.89 a pump. People were lined up, got their gas, then the gas stations were shut down. I remember driving by and they were all dark.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's the difference between then and now?
Well, you're talking about the double issue, which was inflation plus no supply. So, I mean, listen, but I think we're on that edge. I mean, where people who are, it's not just right and left. It's American people like you talked about, Mary Ellen. And that's what I'm talking about today exactly. So the purpose of the entire broadcast today, as we take your calls and talk about all these different issues, how does it all add together? We have got to stand up. Okay, can you survive? This is the first year of the Biden presidency. Now, we can make big gains in the House and the Senate. You can make gains in your state and locally in government, and we need to do that. But we still are going to have to be dealing with this White House for another 3 years. We have got to rise up as the American people. We got to convince more people to come along our side. We do. We got to convince them to get out and vote in midterms, which they usually don't, and vote for our candidates. Vote for people that we support. Vote for people that are going to stand up for what we believe in. And of course, groups like ours, the ACLJ, we're expanding right now. We're launching new initiatives. We're able to do that because of our donors, the financial support of the ACLJ. And this is a great time to support our work at aclj.org, because we're in a matching challenge month. That means you double the impact of your donation. If you donate $50, that's like $100 for the ACLJ, because a group of donors are going to match it. Donate today, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.